LEX 18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mic.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hot Mic. It is going to be a great day.
I think we're going to leave this episode feeling a little inspired.
I agree. And that we might be putting a little bit of pressure on our guest today.
A little bit. She is the glue that holds Big Brothers, Big Sisters together.
Yes.
Executive Director Meredith Watts. Welcome to Hot Mic.
I am so excited to be here. This is very exciting. Thank you all for having me.
Have you ever been on a podcast before?
No.
This is the debut.
This is it.
You're actually perfect, though, for a podcast, not only because, you know, you lead Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Bluegrass, but you're a talker.
I'm a yapper. Like, I love it. This is kind of my dream.
You know that it's going to be a good episode when when the director is telling you, like, okay, we got to go.
We got to go.
Because we're talking so much before we even hit record.
We're losing daylight here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start from the very beginning. Meredith, I want to know, where did you grow up? We were kind of talking about this a minute ago, but what was your childhood like?
Okay. So I grew up in Woodford County. So I'm a local girl. I'm from here. And I loved it. I grew up in downtown Versailles. I live in Midway now. I went to elementary school in Woodford County, and then I stayed local, and I went to University of Kentucky. But my childhood was great. I grew up in Woodford County, so pretty much everything that you could dream of, with very small town feel. Mm-hmm. We had like three elementary schools, one middle school, one high school. So you grew up with everybody. You went through the whole school system with the same people. And so I'm still very close with tons of people from my high school. And I live there now. And so it's thriving and it's really fun to see. So it's a great place.
And you're taking your golf cart.
Yes.
To and from places. So
we're in Midway. So I will say Midway's, you know, Midway's got my heart right now. Now Versailles is, you know, that's home, but Midway's my new home right now. And Midway's amazing because it is. It's very small town. It's very Hallmark. It's very, it's kind of surreal for a lot of people because we realize a lot of people that come and just visit. But for us, we really do. We live like right over the railroad track. You can take your golf cart down. You can go to the restaurants, go to the shops. You know everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody waves. And yeah, your neighbors really become your family. It's some people, our next door neighbor moved in and he was like, does everybody know everyone here? Like, why? He was like, people were just like talking to me downtown at the post office. And he's like, I don't know about all this. And I'm like, oh no, I'll send my neighbor with my P.O. box keys and be like, can you just like go get my mail for a little bit?
It's amazing. I love that. Yeah. There aren't too many places like that. It feels like anymore, right?
No, it's safe. Mm-hmm. It has a bubble. And I used to think like, oh, it's a little small. Like I'm still coming from Lexington. Yeah. You know, I was like, we're still moving and grooving. And now I'm like, no, let me get home. Let me get to Midway. I just want to like tuck myself in at home and it's great.
Gosh, this is like an ad for Midway. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Get me to Midway.
Absolutely.
Let's
our slogan is like, meet me in Midway.
Cute. So cute. Yeah, I want to meet you in Midway.
Yes. Come on. Anytime.
We need to go. And you are a young mom. You have two young kids and they are adorable. Love seeing
them.
Two under two. Well, now we've officially graduated last month, the two under two. But yes, we had two under two for a couple months. And that is everything that people say it is. Very exciting. A lot of energy, a lot of big feelings. Mm-hmm. Very exciting time. But no, it's amazing.
Yeah, such a fun wonderful place to raise them too.
Yes. Well, and it's helpful because since you get to know your neighbors so well, mm-hmm. like it really takes a village. Like, I mean, that statement I knew because I grew up that way. I grew mm-hmm. up with a lot of aunts and uncles who weren't technically my aunt and uncle, but they were my parents' friends or neighbors. And they were really involved in my life. And so I felt like that's kind of lost in this new generation. Mm-hmm. But I'm really grateful because in Midway, like my neighbors really are a part of my family. And so my kids can go to their house. They can help me. If I've got like both kids and like a grocery run in my trunk, like they'll just see and pop over and help me carry groceries in the house. Like things like that are... It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah. You don't get that everywhere.
No.
You're right. It makes it special. Okay. You have two boys?
I have a girl
and a boy.
The oldest. Yep. And then I have a 2-year-old. She just turned two. and then a just turned 4-month-old boy.
Okay. What are some of the funny things that they say or do? I feel like babies, toddlers okay. can really crack you up.
I used to think that people, when they told stories about, like, my child said this, and it'd be something hysterical, and you'd be like,
yeah, did they really say that?
Yeah, like, probably not. And then, you know, but you're just like, okay. By the time she's two, she's, like, looking at me and talking to me in a way that I am like, I need to put a mic on you. You are so funny.
We need to get her on a mic.
She would sit right here, and she'd be like, no, mama. No, mama. Like, everything is just, and it's the seriousness mm-hmm. at which she mm-hmm. says it, which is so funny. So she's really into now, like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
But
oh,
a teenager.
Yes. Everything mm-hmm. is, oh, yes. I'll say, oh, did you have fun at school? Oh, yes. I had such a good time. And it's her, like, the emphasis on yeah. just all of her words. It's so funny. And then just her trying to communicate her day, you know, she's mm-hmm. brilliant. But we're still working on words.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And so just her navigating that in those conversations, it's so funny. It's hysterical. And then the little guy's 4 months.
Mm-hmm. He's not doing too much just yet.
Just no,
he's
looking
literally
cute.
Just smiling and happy to be alive. Like, he is as chill as they come. He is so sweet. And just all he does, he just smiles. He is very just happy to be there.
How is she adjusting to being a big sister?
She loves it. She loves it a little too much to where I'm like, sometimes I'm like, no, like, he's sleeping. And she's like, Bobby. And she'll like run across the room. I'm like, oh, like,
yeah,
a new toy.
Yeah. So she's, yeah, very affectionate ooh, with his like yes. face. She comes home with her like daycare sticky hands and she's like, let me get in your business.
Let me get in your business.
Aww. Yeah. Like, I don't need to, you know, we don't need both, everyone sick in this house. Like, yeah. So she's amazing. So it's very sweet.
I love it. Okay, I'm curious. Both of my brothers have young kids,
yes.
so I'm kind of in that zone. Is there a kid show that they're watching right now that you despise, or a song?
No, honestly, and I, not a popular answer. I feel really fortunate right now. Blair loves to read.
Ooh.
So, like, TV will be on, but it's not really her jam.
Okay.
Like, she's also can't really sit still. Like, I try so hard. I want, like, just like a cuddle pile. Like, let's all get together. It's Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Like, can we just, like, slow down and just, like, I will turn on a TV and you can watch it. Like, I don't. And she will not. No. Like, we have places to go, things to do. Like, she puts her, like, rain boots on by, like, 7 a.m.
Oh.
And is like, we've got to go.
That's inspiring me.
Puddles to get going.
Yes.
Yes. So, she's, the one thing that she absolutely loves is Barney. She's, yeah.
Wait, I've seen pictures. She has, doesn't
yes.
she have a, like, a
yes,
stuffed
she has
Barney?
A stuffed baby Bop. And okay. Bop is it. Bop
love
is it.
That.
But I was kind of excited because that's like our childhood.
Totally.
I mean, I missed it a little bit, but Barney, man, Barney has good lessons. He's
Barney does not age.
No. I mean,
that purple glowing, yes. glowing dinosaur skin.
I had my,
about that. Yeah.
I had my husband put on an inflatable, he's already 6'4", but I had him put an inflatable Barney costume for her first birthday. So it made him like
fun.
Six, whatever. She didn't love it, but all the adults did.
Was she fearful of?
I think, yeah, it was just all of a sudden kind of like, that was, and then tried coming near, and she was like, no, no, very dramatic, no, like, don't do that. So, but I, you know, we still have it, so in case she's a little bit older, I think it'll be,
try it again.
Yeah, third birthday, maybe.
You never know when that'll come in handy,
yes,
honestly.
No, it's staying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barney, what? So they're not clamoring for Miss Rachel or anything. I mean, Barney feels like, yeah, maybe the best.
Very classy.
Yeah. I will tell you, it is not annoying in the background. Yeah. It is not like, it's not repetitive. There's not a lot of, and it's not a cartoon. So it's just humans on the screen. Mm-hmm. And so she kind of, she'll watch it. And it's all, everything's a lesson, you know, please and thank yous and all the things. So right now, but ask me in 2 weeks, and it could be we have discovered something via daycare that I'm like, oh, here we go.
Let's turn that on.
This is great.
Oh my gosh. Is it true that daycare is kind of like a little bit of a cesspool? Like, are the kids always getting sick?
They
Always. Really? Always?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Everything that you've ever heard of. It is, I mean, it's like a little Wild West. Like, you drop off, and it's hysterical, too, because, like, it reminds me of, like, that scene in Toy Story where all the little aliens are like, like, you drop one off, and all of a sudden, eight toddlers just run over to you, and they're like, hug you, hug. And I'm like, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
And they all hug each other, and yeah, they, like, all kiss each
precious.
Other. It's so sweet.
But you don't maybe want them to be kissing all winter.
No, because she comes home, uh-huh, and, I mean, it's out of every... And I'm like, what?
The
no.
snot and all that.
And it's funny
that.
Because by the time, so our first one, I was like, in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, we are, like, no, we are hands washing. Everything's mm-hmm. clean.
Got
like,
the boundaries.
We've got, yes. Oh, the holidays. Like, not my baby. Like, we are keeping everyone. And now she's been in daycare and we have a second one and it's like, let's go. Like, everybody, we don't have time. She's got snot, but we gotta go. Like, so it's, yeah, but it's exactly what you think it is.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I was the oldest of four and about 2 years apart down the line.
Okay.
And I think by the time my parents got to the fourth, it was just like, eh, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen here because.
Factually.
And probably going from one to two is also like, whoa.
Yes. Well, my brother has four and it's the same uh-huh. as every two.
Okay.
And so we are, she's the fifth, my oldest. So there was a lot of learning and watching mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, good. Yeah. I know how this all goes. But yeah, you could see by, yeah, by the fourth, you're just like.
Anything goes.
Yes.
Totally.
Anything so, goes. Yeah, by the second, you're just like, oh, we can't stay or you don't want to be locked at home all weekend. Especially during the winter. You're kind of like, okay, we got to get out.
And you've got places to go. You're a working mom. You
have a lot of places.
Yes. Yeah, you're busy. What has that been like transitioning to being a working mom?
That has been, it's honestly, I think it's been so hard. I mean, it's, that's, again, probably not a very popular answer.
No,
but
it's hot mic, so you can say, okay, you can be honest.
It's honestly, I think it was very, very hard. Mm-hmm. I think you are pulled in two completely opposite directions mm-hmm. with, they don't compare, like your mm-hmm. children always come first, but you've got something that you are, I work in a nonprofit, so it's a very mission oriented, mm-hmm. something I'm extremely personally passionate about. So it doesn't really feel like your normal job. It's something that you're going to work because you care about it. Mm-hmm. You love the people that you work with. You work for a mission. Mm-hmm. And then you have your children and your family. And so for me, it made me think, okay, if I'm going to spend time away from my kids, I better believe in what I'm doing. Or I better really be okay with what I'm doing with that time away from them. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a luxury thought for a lot of people, but I did not find it easy at all. I still don't. We did drop off this morning and she's just crying, you know, you're just crying and hugging and the whole time you're like, okay, let's just go home and like cuddle. I get it. Like
I
me
quit.
Too. Yeah. Like I'll quit. It's fine. So it's been hard, but I will say the more I actually open up and talk to people about like, hey, I'm having a really hard time with this. More people actually will share that with me and give me a little bit more like personal insight. I was talking to someone who's a doctor about it. And she was like, girl, I had two little ones in my first year where I was officially, I guess not a resident, but above a mm-hmm. resident.
Yeah.
And she was like, imagine going to school and it's your whole dream. And then I had two under two mm-hmm. and how to, she was like, it was the most confusing thing ever. And so I think it's gotten a lot easier. I think just anything, as you get older, mm-hmm. you feel more confident in setting boundaries or you feel more confident in your decisions. But I think it did not come natural for me to weave the two. And I think I'm still working on it. So if you see my babies at work, it's just because I wanted them there that day.
Hey,
and I was just like, let's come to work with mom because I want to spend time with you.
Does work allow you to do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Where I, at Big Brothers Big Sisters, mm-hmm. it's funny. I'm the only one right now that's in the season of littles. A lot of my coworkers have older elementary or high school. Mm-hmm. And it is so inspiring because they are some of the most well-adjusted, amazing kids. And it's so fun seeing them like talk to their parents and they come in and talk to me. And I don't know, we constantly get told like, oh, this generation. And I'm like, I meet those 14, 15 year olds every day. And I'm blown away at how awesome they are. And so it's fun because we've really tried to make it the environment of like, we need to practice what we preach. Like we need to be about, you know, wellness for the community, wellness for families. And I realize I'm not the best boss or I'm not the best friend or person that I am if I'm just trying to like exclude both parts of my life. Like I have to intertwine them to feel like I'm giving a good amount.
Totally.
To them, if that makes sense.
Yes.
From our perspective, you are balancing it all beautifully.
Very nice.
So
we aspire
to be like that one
day.
Oh
gosh. Thank you.
Let's talk about Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Yes.
How you got involved, when you got involved, and what this organization means to you.
So I love this. I had never worked at a nonprofit before, so I was not very, very naive to what I was kind of getting into. I'd always worked at for-profits. And around COVID, everything was shifting. And do you remember, it was all over the news. It was always like, make a difference, people that were impacting. We were like ringing bells for nurses. Like it just felt very like I needed to be doing something. And I had myself, my own mentors and individuals that I really looked up to. And someone that I had worked with, or knew personally, was Di Boyer. She was very much a mentor of mine, but also, one of my best friend's mom. And she and I had a really powerful conversation one day where she just looked at me and she was like, I think you're trying to find a mission. And I think you're a mission oriented person. And I think you've kind of outgrown where you're at because you're looking for something totally different. And I think you really need to look at nonprofits, but find something that really represents you. Because I didn't have a tie. Philanthropy has learned, and I didn't have a huge philanthropic background. Long story short, she reached out to me and there was a posting for Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And all of my conversations were really about all of these people that had impacted me along the way and how I didn't really realize they were mentoring me, but they were people that really advised me and I looked up to. So we had a conversation and then I met the CEO at the time and we clicked just thick as thieves instantly. And so that was 2021. So really heavy in the COVID time. And I've been there ever since. It has been the best decision I've ever made. It's exactly where I need to be and exactly where I need to be at this time in my life too, with kids, being a new mom, and really having a lot of experience in my career at for-profits, I think that's brought a really kind of unique balance to my job at a nonprofit. You don't see that a lot. And so I love it. I love our mission. I love, well, you all know it more than anything. You are two big sisters. But it's a wonderful, wonderful passion. Yeah.
So it's an incredible organization.
Yeah. And we should talk about maybe our experiences a little bit. And I know we've all had different experiences with it, but you go first.
Okay.
Because you're the reason that I got into Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
And it's such an honor for me that you joined.
Isn't that sweet?
That's so sweet.
I was like forcing people to sign up, basically.
That's the best. That's what we need from all of our volunteers. Yeah. Just drag them in.
But isn't Evie the best person? I had moved to Lexington and wanted to get involved with something. And I saw what Evie was doing with her little and thought, well, that just seems so rewarding and impactful for both of them. So, okay, you go.
Well, and so you said, you know, it was one of the best decisions you ever made working there. It was one of the best decisions I ever made signing up. I had actually thought about signing up in Montana, but that was probably 5 years ago. But at the time, you, I believe this is still the policy. You want to be living in a place for an extended period of time, right? You don't want to sign up and move 6 months later. And when I was living in Montana, I knew that I was eventually going to be probably moving on. So I didn't do it there. And when I got to Lexington, I thought this is the perfect time to sign up for an organization like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And so I was matched with a little, I guess that was 4 years ago, probably 2021, right?
Okay.
COVID
times,
because we were still masking and doing all of those things when I got matched. Allie was my first little through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Bluegrass. And she was 7, I believe, when we matched. She was my flower girl. We just hit it off immediately.
Those pictures are so sweet.
Well, and not only was she so sweet at my wedding, so adorable, so beautiful in her flower girl dress. But at the time, she was really obsessed with Michael Jackson. And so after the ceremony, she had on this beautiful dress, right? She changed into a Michael Jackson costume. And my mom had bought her like a glove, like the sparkle glove that Michael wore. And she wore this at the reception. And she was a highlight. Amazing. And it was actually funny because her, I think her mom had said to me, like, are you okay with her wearing? And I said, absolutely. I would love nothing more than for her to
free entertainment.
Yes, exactly. Wear her Michael Jackson costume. And she's so funny. She moved last year with her mom. They moved to South Carolina. But we still keep in touch. She was just in town a few weeks ago. She came to my house for trick or treating. I love her obsessions. And this is the thing about kids, right? You know, you mentioned your daughter loving Barney. She is obsessed now with Alexander Hamilton, the American politician. Yeah, so she was Alexander Hamilton for Halloween. We watched Hamilton together earlier this summer. She introduced me to all, because I had never seen it. I'm like probably the last person on earth to not have seen Hamilton. But so we still keep in touch. Her family's wonderful. And yeah, love Allie. And then after she moved last year, I took a little bit of a break because I just thought maybe I can have a little bit of a break, figure out if I, you know, if this is the mission that I want to keep volunteering, but I can't stay away from Big Brothers, Big Sisters. So signed back up, and I have another little now, another little sister, Samaya, who is just precious. She is 9 years old, about to be 10, I believe. Wow. If I'm wrong on the age, I'm sorry, Samaya. right around, she's in the fifth grade, and she is just, you know, I said it at the gala a month ago. You kind of think, oh, no one, like, it won't be as special having another little sister. My first little was so amazing. They are equally, they're like just so special to me. So it's been so fun hanging out with Samaya. She teaches me like what's hip and with it in fifth grade.
Love that.
And she's the sweetest. Like, all of these kids that I interact with through Big Brothers Big Sisters are
incredible.
Just incredible. I took her to one of the first times we hung out, we went swimming, and then I took her to Starbucks, and I forget what she got, like a Frappuccino or something. And she said the sweetest thing. She said, "Thank you. You didn't have to do this for me, but you did." It's like every interaction, they just yes. Yeah, they're precious.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it. It's little moments are just massive.
Yes.
To a lot of the to all of the kids in our organization. And I can't thank you both. I can't wait to hear your story too. But I just hearing your all's excitement about it and how much it means to you and how important it is. It's you can hear it from me all day, but for the individuals who are in it, who actually volunteered, who really take the time to develop these relationships, it stays with the kids for life.
Well, and for
the
big
volunteers,
right?
I know, and that's something that I feel like we need to share those stories more, because our kids, we can get the impact all day. We're evidence based and we're preventative, so we have the data to actually show you. We can quantify what a positive role model does in a child's life, and we're the only evidence based mentoring program to do that. So, I see that power all day, but it is always when I talk to the bigs where they're just like, no, my little has changed my life or my little means everything to me. And this is what we do. And I thought it was going to be this huge commitment, but we went to Starbucks and it felt like it changed her life.
The highlight of her week. Probably. Can you imagine having Evie as your big, though, literally?
No, I can't imagine having either. I'm like, I want to join.
Like, we can hang out with you all.
All
good together. Yes. It does sometimes feel like having, and I don't know if my littles would have said this, but it's almost like having a little best friend that you just get to hang out with. Because you know, I think, you know, the mentoring, the idea of mentoring can be really intimidating, especially for men. I hear that from men a lot, right? They don't think they have what it takes to be a mentor. But so much of it is just about hanging out, being a positive presence, just
showing up and being reliable. One thing I love about Big Brothers Big Sisters is that everyone's experience is a little different. I'm actually paired with a teenager. Riley is 17. She is like the coolest person I know.
She's you kind of hit, for sure.
I try to ask her things. I'm like months behind on all the trends. I'm like, Riley, everybody's saying this 6-7 thing. She's like, that's so dumb. That's so lame. You're like so behind.
That's behind? I didn't realize that.
There's like a
we've
new
moved
thing.
On.
We've moved on.
Okay.
Can't keep up. Yeah, but I met Riley when she was 15, right when she was starting high school. And what a journey. Just being a teenager, starting high school, she just got a car. She's been, you know, she goes to school dances. And I don't know, like, being with someone who's going through that phase is so grounding for me. And every time I drop her off, I call my mom because I'm like, was I like that? Or did I say things like that or do this? And it's just been very eye-opening for me. I don't know if you feel like this with your littles, but it kind of just reminds you what's important. It reminds you that, you know, there is so much more to life that not everything is about you, you know? And I don't know. I've really loved my time. I've learned a lot from Riley and it makes me so excited to see where she's going to go because she's grown so much, just in the few years that I've known her from kind of, you know, a freshman in high school who wasn't sure what her goals were or, you know, where she maybe fell into place, what her interests were. And now she, you know, has a job and she just got a car and she's thinking about college and it's so exciting.
How amazing.
Yeah. To watch that growth. Get to have a front row seat to this young person as they're navigating life. Yeah. And I get so tickled. Like she'll text me sometimes and be like, you know, this thing happened at school or like my Halloween costume is so cute. it's so fun.
Yes. Yeah. And an honor too, to get to play a role in someone's life. I think like that.
It is. And I love that you all have two totally different ages.
Totally. Yeah.
The high school age is, that's always, I think it's one of our hardest to match, which is why we actually don't enroll a ton of teenagers because it's a harder age gap sometimes to match. And we don't want someone waiting on the wait list who is already 15 turning 16, but they do an incredible job. We have an incredible program team who the minute that we have a child or family or school that calls and says, hey, we have a 15-year-old and who needs, you know, this is what they're going through. And we really think this would make all the difference in their life. We have an enrollment specialist and a program team and case managers who work so closely to know every volunteer, every inquiry, and they go through these deep levels of interviews to make sure that our matching is so intentional. And we do our absolute best to be like, okay, priority. Let's see how we can make, you know, this happen. And because there's a special someone out there for everybody. And I think, were you all surprised when you all got matched? Like, was there any surprises about, like, how quickly your relationship formed? Or did it take a little while? Like, what was your all's kind of initial feelings?
That's a good question.
I didn't know that teenagers could be littles. And because I was kind of basing what I thought my experience would be on Evie's, I thought, oh, I'll probably be matched with a little kid. Yep. And so when they called and they said, well, she's a teenager, I was like, whoa, okay, bring it on.
New skill set.
Totally. But I grew up with brothers, so I think part of me always wanted to have a little sister, and maybe her being a little older has felt more realistic in that, you know, a little closer to my age.
I love that.
So, that was maybe the surprise for me.
I'm just always amazed at, you know, you mentioned the team, at how well they do matching people, because every time they've called, I mean, it's only been twice now, they say, we really think we have a child that will be a great match for you. Yep. And, you know, sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe they say that every time, just it's what they say.
Sure.
But it's true. You know, you after you meet your little and maybe hang out a few times, it's like, oh, we have a lot in common, you know, a lot to talk about. You know, and I've also loved getting to know my little's families. I don't know I don't know if that's always the case where maybe families aren't always as involved, but I've been blessed to have two littles with families who are very involved in the program and so kind and easy to work with and just good people. So I've loved that as well. It makes you feel really connected to your community, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's spot on. No, we really do. We realize the importance of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So we know that we really, I mean, ultimately we view it like we have one opportunity to get this match right. Mm-hmm. And we take the seriousness and safety of the child and the volunteer so seriously. So that's why it's a process.
It is.
You all have been through it.
Yeah, it is.
It is. I mean, background checks, interviews, references. I mean, we really go above and beyond. I know that we do, to make sure that we are so intentional about these matching. Our match length is actually double the national average.
Wow.
And I think
what is that then?
That's crazy.
So close to like 4 years.
Wow.
And so, I don't know. It's done in months. So mm-hmm. I can't quickly think of months. But it's around 4 years. But it's just, it's really phenomenal because, yeah, you hear the care and what they talk about. Mm-hmm. And so we do, family assessments, like all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's all meant to happen for a reason, but yeah, they really look, obviously the safety of the child is first and foremost, mm-hmm. but it's same with the volunteer. Like we mm-hmm. want for the big to feel so confident, so secure. I think it's really powerful that everybody has a case manager or social mm-hmm. worker. That's another piece of the program that I think doesn't get as much of a spotlight as it should. The value of having social workers and case managers overseeing those relationships. One is, a backup for support, but also because, yeah, a lot of our kids have gone through a lot of mm-hmm. really traumatic experiences. And we don't expect volunteers to come equipped to know how to handle mm-hmm. XYZ. So we really want, this relationship to stay fun and positive mm-hmm. and consistent. And we want to make it easy, and we want to make it so that a kid gets to just be a kid.
Yeah.
And then the case manager can really help fill those gaps and support that relationship. And it is all free. We do not charge for any of our services, for any of our trainings. So it's a really powerful piece of our program that I think kind of gets understated for the magnitude of support it supports for kids and families.
Definitely. Let's talk about who can be bigs and what the commitment looks like. If someone is watching or listening and thinking, okay, I'm kind of interested.
You really should.
Yeah. What are kind of the parameters?
So bigs are anyone over the age of 18. There's a lot of nuances with that because we do federal background mm-hmm. checks, state background checks. We do license. You need referrals. You've got to go through that whole intake process. But over the age of 18, and then we do tend to have more young boys on our wait list. So we're always looking for mm-hmm. young men mm-hmm. who are interested in just being a cool big brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really powerful. It's 1 hour once a week. We do realize that, everybody has a life. So we understand there's a lot of flexibility to mm-hmm. that. But 1 hour once a week. I was talking to, last night we spoke at a panel for UK Student Athletics. We're the official partner of UK, mm-hmm. Student Athletes. And the panel was of former and current student athletes who are bigs. And one of the things we talked about was the 1 hour a week commitment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, guys, I don't want to shame anybody, especially myself, but if we pull out our phone and we look at our screen time,
No, 1,000%.
You've got an hour. We've got 1 hour mm-hmm. once a week. And of course, and we also try to, we're trying to get even, more involved by giving them activities to do, mm-hmm. providing them, coupons and places to go, really kind of help guide the process. And then to enroll children, we're enrolling about age 6 to age 14, but you can be in our program from age 6 to age 18. But we always say once you're in our program, you're in it for life. So you might be 18 and going off to college, but you're always going to be a little, and you always have the support of our program coming back to that.
Mm-hmm. That's so amazing.
What are some of the things that you like to do with your little? Since you've had younger littles, what are the activities y'all do?
We do all sorts of things. One thing we went to recently was, what is the apple orchard and pumpkin farm in Scott County?
Bywater?
That is one.
Bywater?
We went to a different one. Oh, okay. I can't think of the name. We went to Evans. We went to Evans.
Okay. Because Eckerd's is, yep.
Yes. Okay. Eckerd's is for sale, right?
Sales.
Yes. Yep. Hometown. We went to Evans recently just for the afternoon, and there was like no one there. It was a beautiful day, and we played on all of the equipment, and we took pictures. We did a little photo shoot with all the different photo opportunities they have there. We had so much fun, but we've gone to the movies, the library. Yeah. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And it's not a week goes by that I don't get a text from Big Brothers Big Sister saying, hey, we have
yes.
these tickets for this event tonight, or, yep. you know, we're all,
here's an activity, or we're yes. going bowling, or here's yep. a free, it's all yeah. free. It's already organized and set up.
What yeah. do you all do?
Well, Riley is a teenager, yes. so we like to go to the mall.
Love. Yes. That's, you love, I know you love the mall.
Oh, yeah. She's very into makeup, bring so we'll go to Sephora, Starbucks, we'll grab dinner. Yeah. Because my schedule is, I get off work, mm-hmm. you know, a little later in the evening. Usually I pick her up in the evenings and we'll go grab dinner, which just goes to show that you can make it work for your schedule. It's not like you have to have a job where you are off at 5 p.m. and then you're committing the whole evening to your little. You can make it work with what you're doing. And going back to how the pairs make sense, you know, Riley is a teenager, so it's not an issue for her if we're not hanging out until I get off at 7:30 p.m. You know, because she's staying up late. But yeah, that's kind of what we do.
It's really kind of, you know, you the activities. It's kind of whatever you can think of that sounds fun to both mm-hmm. you and your little, you know, I mean, within yeah. reason, right? And obviously keeping safety in mind. But it's, I'm always texting Samaya's mom saying, does this sound fun? And she has ideas too that mm-hmm. she wants to do. So
she just wants to see you. Whatever she, yeah. whatever you two
that's
do together.
Really it, yeah.
It's really, that's what it is. It's that consistency. But that's what one of the, to piggyback on that, that's what one of the student athletes on our panel, she plays soccer for University of Kentucky. So she'll have games or some commitments, mm-hmm. team commitments, and she'll be like, oh, I've got to go to the men's game. She'll just pick up her little and they'll go to the men's soccer game.
It's so fun. Yeah.
And then like her teammates have gotten to know, like she's like a little sister to them. It's just, that's what she said. She was like, I just kind of fold her into my life and she loves what I do and I love being around
yes.
her. And yeah. they have just this really cute dynamic. So it's not to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you had said something earlier about like mentoring, the word mentoring, mm-hmm. I think can be really intimidating. Feels like you have to like impart some serious wisdom,
sure.
you know? And I'm like, I think if someone was like, you have to mentor this, I would be like, I run, you know, like we're all part of this organization. I'd be like, what?
Right.
And so instead, that's why I like that it's called Big Brother, Big Sister. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, we really just emphasize, you know, just consistency,
yeah.
have fun. You know, we make friendship bracelets.
Yes.
We just go to the park, walk around the park,
yep.
yeah.
check on their day, like let them have a little outlet to just mm-hmm. have someone to talk to or mm-hmm. kind of
to listen to them.
Oh yeah.
yeah.
That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Is there a moment that you've had or a story you've heard that really resonated with you about maybe how mentorship changed a little's life?
We have so many. Everyone at work laughs. I cry like every Wednesday at Huddle because they'll like tell a story of just like, it's not even like a success story, if you will. It's just like, oh, this was really fun. They identified this and they got over this fear. And I'm like, oh, that's so beautiful. But we have so many stories. Last night I was talking to a big, and he's been with his little for a couple of years now, but the first year that they were together, it really got identified that he had kind of made it through school a little bit without knowing how to read.
Wow.
And he started slowly picking that up and realizing I'm going to work on this with him. And without making it so obvious, mm-hmm. he started doing things like we'd go to like McDonald's and I'd be like, no, like order off the menu. Mm-hmm. And what do these words yeah. say? And he would point out street signs and read them to him. And he just slowly, and now he's just thriving in school. He realizes like some of his maybe behavioral or confidence issues came from the fact that he was kind of hiding that he didn't, mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't know how to read. And mm-hmm. so I think it's just feeling overlooked or not being seen, and someone who you admire looks at you mm-hmm. and is like, no, you're great. I'm going to help you with this. At my age, that's what I'm still looking for. I'm always looking to talk to people to say, hey, can you show me this? Or I need help with this. Or it's very, very powerful. And we have so many incidents or we have so many matches where that is their story, where it's just, I discovered something about my little that it wasn't a behavioral thing. It was a fear thing or it was, they were not being seen or they had some issues. And now all of a sudden they're loving school, which means they're not as truant at school, or their teachers, they're having better interactions with their teachers. They're not getting into as many fights. We realize, like, that is such a pattern of behavior with kids. Mm. A lot of kids that are deemed, you know, that they're getting in fights at school or mm-hmm. being troublemakers. Yeah. Something else is going on. Mm-hmm. And it is. I mean, there's so many people who just were busy and all of those things. But man, breaking that down and then building up a whole new confidence, mm-hmm. That's transformative.
Yeah.
And think about the trajectory then if you're not afraid to go to school or if you're not embarrassed to raise your hand, or then also they have the confidence to look at another kid who might be, we've had that all the time where I had a young boy at the last match appreciation. He was like, I stick up now for my friends who are, and like the way he said it, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like he just mm-hmm. feels very protective of the people around mm-hmm. him now because he has a big brother who looks out for him. And I just thought, gosh, it's just, it's amazing.
The ripple.
Oh,
right.
It's a community issue. Yeah. I mean, it's a community social health. I'm learning a lot mm-hmm. right now over the past year. Even though I've been a Big Brothers Big Sisters for 4 years, I did fundraising for a lot of it. And I'm deep into the program now mm-hmm. for the past year. And the impact of social health and where that mm-hmm. starts. I mean, it starts at home. It starts with kids. And really what we're doing is, I mean, transforming these relationships. And when you have children who have experienced mm-hmm. a lot of traumatic things, and not only are you acknowledging that, you're trying to break down those barriers, but then replace them mm-hmm. with positive memories, mm-hmm. with positive and hopeful outcomes to really ignite that potential. That's what we say all the time at Big Brothers Big Sisters, because it's true. And you know, when you hear, we've had 100% of our kids graduate high school the past couple of years, when you hear that our kids have been out of the juvenile justice system, it's because that's truly from the relationship mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the big and the little. I mean, it's so powerful.
Has having kids of your own changed how you, you know, see the need for mentorship?
A thousand percent. We are not meant to do this alone.
Well, like, it goes back to the village thing you were talking about, right?
Absolutely. We are not meant to do this alone. So yes, there are, you know, we have children who have incarcerated parents or parents that were affected by the opioid crisis or being raised by grandparents. We have all of those circumstances. We have a lot of circumstances where individuals, mothers, fathers, grandparents mm-hmm. are doing everything they can, but mm-hmm. you just need more people. Totally. You need a village. You might. And so it's really just adding that and being able to work alongside with these families, I think is just such a powerful thing mm-hmm. for kids to see adults getting along and adult interaction and kids getting to be kids. Mm-hmm. And now that I've had, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine one doing this without a partner or, and then without individuals. But yeah, we have to have community support. We need human to human interaction. Mm-hmm. We need that. That's what we're, you know, meant to do. So I think it's just a phenomenal program.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. If you had a call to, I mean, we've been talking about it the whole time, but kind of,
what more do we need to say?
A call to action. I mean, we are all so passionate about mm-hmm. this, but what would you say to really get people on board?
Well, right now our biggest need is funding. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really is where we're at. The community need for our program has never been higher. We are getting calls from schools, mm-hmm. from behavioral health clinics, from families, from courts saying this is what our kids need. So we know that what we're doing works. The financial support, it is a necessity in order to support these matches and do what we need to do to train and enroll. We've lost a little, you know, federal funding's been hard. And so we're really calling on our community and our community partners, because what we're doing affects the health of our community. We're in over half of the schools in Fayette County alone. And so there isn't a zip code that we don't touch. So right now we're really trying to find, businesses that are interested in partnering with us that are mission oriented, into your funding. There's a lot of individuals for tax purposes mm-hmm. that are looking to donate, their donor advice funds, or they want to work with their wealth management to kind of donate a nonprofit. We welcome that at any time, but at the end of the year, I know it's a big one. And we're also doing, we just found out we were selected for, Buffalo Trace did 100 bourbons for 100 charities. Mm. And so we received 6 like high-end exclusive bottles of Weller. So we bundled them together and we're selling the tickets for $100 a ticket, but we're only doing 250 tickets, very minimum quantity. So you have a really high chance of winning. Mm-hmm. And we are going to draw that on December 18th.
Okay.
So that's a good one too for individuals who are, it's around the holidays. That's a fun, fun holiday gift. But it's a great way because 100% of that raffle goes back to our organization. So we got that at zero cost. So we really want to push that and hope that, it's $100. Mm-hmm. So we are so grateful for anyone that purchases the ticket.
Okay. It is just a good time of year too, I think, as people are kind of maybe evaluating goals for next year mm-hmm. and thinking of what they're grateful for and the community around them. So a good time to be thinking maybe how to incorporate something like Big Brothers, Big Sisters into your life.
Oh, we absolutely. Yes. 2026. Get to know us. Call us. Visit our, follow us on social media. All the things. We are here and we are needed and we want to be around a lot longer. So we definitely need some help.
Well, and speaking of, the holidays, this episode will come out just before Thanksgiving. So we just a few days. So we have to ask you, what are you thankful for this year? What comes to the top of your mind?
My family, my health, my life, the true things that we take for granted, or not we, that I can take for granted just daily. I really have to scale back every morning and just, I've got a roof over my head. Mm-hmm. I can drive to work in the snow. We are healthy. Like, I am very grateful for all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too.
You spend a few minutes watching the news and you realize, how good you have it.
You do.
Like, the older I get, the more that question makes me kind of emo, right?
You go around the table,
what are you grateful for? I know.
That's how I feel because I just, I used to think of so much other stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, because you just get caught up in your daily grind and why don't I have this or I need more of this or I need a bigger thing. And you do, you take a breath and you're like, wow, I'm okay. Yeah. So
it's all going to be fine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, love it. Well, Meredith, thank you so much for coming on the pod. As anticipated, we did yap.
Yeah. How long have we gone?
I just glanced at the clock and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's that time.
And I think we have a meeting we have to get to for Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
We do. So this is the best.
They'll have to wait for us.
we have things to do. People to see.
Yes. But this has been so fun.
This has been amazing. Thank you all so much. I have loved getting to know you two through Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Too.
And you two are not only amazing Big Sisters, but just everything that you do to support our organization. It means the world to us. But I have loved getting to know you two and the support you have shown me. I can't thank you enough. And so I was delighted to be here. I will come yap anytime.
Yes, I think we need you. And we didn't tell her to say all of that, by the way. We didn't.
No, they don't. I try to tell them every day where I'm like, thank you all so much. You all are amazing because I deeply mean it.
Well,
so
we feel the same about you.
Yeah.
And thanks for including us always in Big Brothers, Big Sisters events. It's always a joy.
And for those listening or watching Hot Mic, I never remember which camera to look at for this part. I think I looked at the wrong one earlier.
That's okay.
This one.
There we go.
Thank you, Robert. Look into Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Yes. We hope this inspired you to maybe give or just learn more about the program. It's had such a positive impact on all three of us. Mm-hmm. And Meredith, thank you so much for joining. We'll have you back on the pod. Not worried about that at all.
Yes.
And thank you for listening and watching this week's episode of Hot Mic.